Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And this week we have a review by request. Ask yes. And ye shall receive.
Yep.
If you go to facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast, you can do as Adam Rock did, and he requested a Hail Caesar review, the latest film by the Coen brothers. So Matt and I are here to review it this week.
Yes, Hail Caesar.
Hail Adam. Thank you for the request.
Hail Adam. Adam Rock, is it?
Now, Coen brothers. I like the Coen brothers. I think perhaps a little bit up and down. But we were just flicking through their filmography before the podcast. We won't go through it all. We could do an entire podcast going through the Wikipedia page of the Coen brothers filmography, but some great films there, including No Country for Old Men, Fargo, etc., etc. So, Matt, were you pumped for Hail Caesar?
Not a big Coen brothers fan, to be honest. Like, don't hate them. Definitely don't have some vendetta against them or anything, but I feel like sometimes I find their films a little bit of fun, but they're never my favourites. But I do really like George Clooney and some of the names attached, so that sort of got me a little bit interested.
Yeah, I guess we'll talk about his role in the film a little bit, but what's his name? I'm blanking on his name. He's one of the most famous people. What's the guy? The young
Josh
guy?
Josh Brolin.
Nah, the young guy. This is hilarious that I forgot
Channing
his
Tatum.
Name. No, fatter, younger.
Jonah Hill.
Yeah, how did I forget Jonah Hill? Oh, there's...
Was he in the movie?
There's one for the podcast. Well, that was the funny thing. He did this opening monologue for SNL last week, and he said, yes, I'm Jonah Hill. Recently, I had a starring role in the Hail Caesar trailer.
Yeah.
Because his entire scene is in the trailer. That's the only scene he does in the whole film.
Is that early in the movie?
Fairly, yeah, probably about a third of the way through.
Oh, okay. I would have seen that then. I missed the first couple of minutes of the movie.
So the film's been out for a little bit, so we'll address this. We're going to be doing spoilers, so...
Yes.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Matt, lacking the passion on this week. Spoiler alert.
What? I feel like it didn't look like I was very passionate, but I feel like the sound was about the same. I feel like the listeners would have had no idea.
I feel like the listeners will strongly disagree. I'm pretty confident on that one. But moving on, we are going to be talking about spoilers, but I guess we'll start at the...
Because being up for so long, like surely everyone's either seen this movie or has no intention of ever seeing this movie.
Unless we give it a rave review. Which is yet to be seen. Yes. So the film, the setup, what are we in, 50s, 60s, sort of like the golden era of Hollywood, right back when like studios, like a big thing, and like we have Josh.
Any actress could sneak her way to the top.
Yeah, but
the good old days.
But thank goodness for gender equality, when that's not a thing anymore.
Yes.
Well done, Hollywood. So Josh Brolin, he is, I don't know what he's called, he's sort of like the head of getting stuff done. He's like the fixer. He's sort of like, was he like Malcolm Tucker in the thick of it? They don't know exactly what his title is, but he's just the one that gets stuff done at the studio, covers up scandals, makes sure the actors aren't drunk, makes them show up to the set on time, and...
He makes the good old days of cinema seem like the good old days of cinema.
The real movie magic.
Yes, yes.
And one of the people that he's looking after is Baird Whitlock, also known as George Clooney, who is the biggest movie star in the world, and he's going to be starring in the massive production of Hail Caesar.
Did you believe George Clooney as the biggest movie star in the world?
Something led me to believe that it could be possible. Yeah. That was quite funny because he was quite good on the screen, but then he seems so goofy and just out of touch with just everything off screen. So I did find him quite a funny character. And so who else does he have to keep under wraps? Is Scarlett Johansson? What does she get up to?
She's playing a mermaid in a movie, I think.
Mm.
And there's some scandal. She's pregnant, I think.
Yeah, she's not married, but she gets pregnant. So they come up with the rather clever scheme of where, I don't know, they're somehow going to take her away for a while. She's going to give birth to the baby, give it up for adoption, and then adopt it back. So she can be like, hey, guys, she just adopted a baby that isn't hers that she didn't have out of wedlock.
Yeah.
And get married in the meantime.
Yes, it'll be funny, because as the kid grows up, especially if it's like a girl that might look quite like her, and people go, boy, that's uncanny. Like, what are the odds that the kid she adopted would look so much like her?
Yeah, maybe that's why all the Hollywood celebrities are adopting, like, Chinese babies and African babies, because the public's like, oh, we've been burned by this ruse too many times before.
Yes. Yes.
So, who else we have? We have Channing Tatum, who doesn't really do a lot except for sort of dance throughout the first part of the film, but I guess it sort of reveals what he's doing in Hollywood later on. I guess the main point of the film is that George Clooney gets kidnapped. Biggest movie star in the world goes missing.
Yeah.
Not uncommon or unexpected in a Coen Brothers film. I was trying to go through them before. Perhaps you can help me at home. But the Coen Brothers seem to like kidnapping people. Happens in Raising Arizona. Happens in Fargo. Happens in Big Lebowski. Feel like it might happen in Burn After Reading. That was an asterisk on that one. Now it happens in Hail Caesar.
I know, I felt pretty trapped when I was watching A Serious Man.
I like that movie. Watch it again. Watch it again. Get back in the room, he says.
Yeah. All good fun, Coen Brothers, all just joshing.
Are we interested in this? Did you think this was a good mystery?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. You know, number one movie star going missing, intrigue. It sort of like seems like he's in an interesting environment. There's a lot of old. It's sort of like he's kidnapped and taken to a retirement village, which is sort of a bit funny and fun.
Yeah, it's a beachfront property in Malibu, probably one of the best places to get kidnapped to. And I'm not sure how they could afford that, because they were communists. That's who he ended up getting kidnapped by. And I thought that was kind of funny, because he's kind of just so ditzy, and, you know, you can say anything and he'll believe you even if he doesn't really understand it. So they're speaking about all this, these like Marxist beliefs, sort of just like communist propaganda. And he's just like, oh, okay. Oh, that seems interesting. He's like, well, I think it's time for me to go. And they're like, nope, you're going to listen to more communism. He's like, all right, can I have a sandwich?
Yeah. Yeah. That's always fun when you've got the sort of the kidnap victim not really realizing they're a kidnapped victim. That's always a bit of a funny sort of like setup. It's not like Stockholm syndrome. It's just sort of a lack of awareness.
Yeah. And then I guess one of the other main characters that sort of ends up being intertwined in this kidnapping plot is, what's his name? Hobie Doyle. I didn't actually recognize the actor, but he does Western, so he's known for throwing the lasso, riding horses, doing backflips and so forth. And then for some reason, in order to, I guess, like raise his profile, he gets put into a dramatic film, which is being directed by Ralph Fiennes. That was a kind of awkward / funny / ridiculous scene. Did you think he was a good director? Do you think that Ralph Fiennes got the most out of Hobie Doyle?
yes and no. Like, I feel like, you know, he wasn't working much, but I feel like he sort of wasn't on board with him being in the film. So he never, like, you know how the actor has to believe that they're the character, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you're an actor, you need to believe that you could be that person. I don't think, like, I think the director's also got to believe you could be that person. And I don't think Ralph Fiennes believed that this guy was the aristocrat guy, and maybe that didn't help.
I did feel a bit sorry for Hobie. He was probably one of the most likable characters in the film. You see him, he takes that girl to the screening of his new film, and he's singing this really heartfelt song, and everybody's laughing at it as if it was a comedy. It's like, no matter what he does, like, he's trying his hardest, but it just doesn't seem to be like what people want from him.
Yeah.
So
I could relate.
You're telling me.
Yeah. Take a number, buddy.
So there is also, we also have Tilda Swinton, or the Tilda Swintons. So I guess there's two of them. She plays twins. We're joined now by former podcast guest and my roommate. She hates it when I call her that. roommate / girlfriend, Bonnie Ethan. We're doing a Hail Caesar review podcast. What's your 30-second opinion on Hail Caesar?
A lot to think about Hail Caesar. Yeah.
Bonnie wasn't sure if she wanted her response to be on the podcast. She just whispered, "Is that the one where I fell asleep?" The answer to which is yes. It gets
take a number. I fell asleep in it too.
Okay, good. That makes me feel a little less bad.
He gets a 1 sleep out of 10 from Bonnie.
I will be honest, though, I have fallen asleep in movies that I've been enjoying before, so it's not necessarily means I'm going to give it a bad review.
Yeah, I have.
Me too.
I've seen a fair amount of movies with you, Matt, and I reckon you fall asleep in about 20% of them.
Yeah, I think that's a fair stat.
And that doesn't apply to the time of the day which the movie is seen. Like, no time slot is immune to Matt falling asleep. During that session, 11 a.m., 6 p.m., all sessions are game.
I live such a hectic life. I'm constantly on the go, right? And just, like, I'm just moving, rolling from thing to thing. It's all happening with my life. That when I get to a movie, it's my one chance to sit down, and sometimes my body just, I think, reacts to that on-the-go, hectic, happening lifestyle that I just need to catch a couple minutes so I can, after the movie, get up and keep going.
You hate foresight. You love power napping.
Yeah.
Very good. The Tilda Swintons, these two twin, because that's just how many people there are when there's twins. There's two of them. There's two twins. And they're both reporters, and they're both trying to get the same scoop, the same scandal about where is Baird Whitlock. And if Josh Brolin doesn't give up the information, they're threatening to release how he got the part for, what was that thing they kept on saying? On wings as eagles. On wings as eagles. What was the scandal? On wings as eagles.
What about, what was I going to say? I can't remember. Continue.
So, I guess Josh Brolin, he's sort of the centre of the film. He's trying to juggle these various scandals. And then
I remember.
Oh, yeah. Cut back in, Matt. Go for it.
I thought Tilda Swinton was great.
I thought they were very funny, and how, like, competitive they were with the twins, and, like, how they badmouth each other. I found that quite entertaining.
But but how they were so similar too. Like, they both thought the other one was the trashy jerk. Yeah. They had the exact opposite perception of each other, which is really good. A highlight of the film.
So Josh Brolin's juggling all this, and then he seems to go home and sort of, sorry I'm late, honey, working hard. How did Jason do at baseball? And he seems to go to confession a lot. What's his confession? He keeps smoking. He's stressed. So then what does it really come down to? I guess it, so here's the thing, right? Kind of some actors we like, some sort of funny moments, you know, interesting story of a kidnapping. But then it seems to me, it kind of peaks at where Hobie sees Channing, was it Channing Tatum? I know, he sees he has something, like the briefcase or the belt or something, and he's like, ooh, something's going on here, I'm going to follow him. And this is where I'm like, oh, this is where the story is going to get really good. Yeah. And then he just seems to follow him to Malibu. All the communists aren't there. George Clooney's just there on his own. And then he takes him back to Hollywood.
Yeah.
I was like, what an anticlimax.
Yeah, I agree.
And then you see the communists out in the water and they've rowed out to a submarine and they give the cash to Channing Tatum, who's apparently in on the whole communist thing, and the kidnapping was just a scam to get the 100,000, 150,000 or whatever to send it back to the motherland, which, you know, is a good chunk of change, but, you know, even in the 50s or 60s or whatever, you're not going to win the Cold War by, like, stealing 100 grand from a Hollywood studio.
Yeah.
And then they end up dropping it in the water or something silly, and yeah, just silly. Silly is quite a good way to describe how a lot of these plot points sort of culminate. So what happens when Hobie brings George Clooney back to the studio?
I can't remember.
Well, he starts...
Oh, he does the scene. He does the scene.
The scene.
He does a monologue.
The big finale to Hail Caesar. Not before getting slapped around by Josh Brolin for trying to share some of his communist propaganda.
Yes.
Well, we've got a request to use the microwave.
Yeah, I reckon, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, use the microwave, for sure. I'm giving approval.
Microwave. Next time. From now on, if any of us need to use the microwave, I'm gonna text you.
Good.
Okay. Yeah, so... that's pretty much it. I mean, really, the only other thing that happens is, I guess Tilda Swinton goes, "Oh, I'm gonna say the On Wings as Eagles things, like George Clooney had sex with a man, and this is the olden times where that's not allowed."
Yeah, it's the good old days of cinema. It was the golden age of cinema where people couldn't be gay.
And Josh Brolin basically says, "Well, you got your information from a communist, so that's even worse than being gay." So that's how he snuffed that fire out. And then he goes, I guess the whole time he's had this other job offer, and he goes back to the confession, and he says, "Oh, I've been so torn over the last 110 minutes of this Coen Brothers film. Should I stick with this job that is hard but I like? Or should I take a job that pays more and would be easier?" And then the priest says something like, "Well, sometimes the right thing to do is a hard thing to do." And Josh Brolin goes, "Okay." And then stays in his job. As if that's life-changing advice. Like the most cliche that you probably just hear just out and about on the street once or twice a year. Oh, the good thing to do, the right thing to do is the hard thing to do. How is that the story changing, character arc concluding pinnacle of the film?
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah.
And then ends, like, as all Coen Brothers film, then they just end. Then it's just credits.
Yeah. Yes. That's pretty much it.
There you go.
What do you think? Do you want to verdict it now? Are there other talking points we've got about it? Like... Okay, here's a question.
Yeah, hit me.
What do you reckon would really happen if a, like, George Clooney or the number one movie star in the world got kidnapped today?
In that time period or in 2016?
2016.
How often does George Clooney tweet?
I don't know. Is he even on Twitter?
Let's see if we can find the George Clooney Twitter.
Found one.
Does it have a check mark? We don't want to be...
No, it doesn't. It's not verified.
Yeah. Following 18. I'm not a big Twitter person. I don't know what a good amount of followers is. But that doesn't seem like enough for George Clooney. Here's the description.
Is Ryan Gosling really the most famous actor today? Like, I'll see that he's on Twitter.
Funny. Who's the most famous actor in Hollywood today?
Male or female?
You can give one answer for each.
Female, Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, I like it.
Male, right now, it's hard. I'm going to go with TV or film? TV or film?
Film. Let's go film.
Film.
A movie.
None of these.
Jeez, I don't know.
Leonardo DiCaprio, I agree.
Okay. I'll see these on Twitter.
Jake
I did search Twitter. Okay, Leonardo DiCaprio. At Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah, verified. Verified. And so, he tweeted something 15 hours ago, proud of the world wildlife efforts, increase orangutan population or something like that. Something else. He's really orangutans. He always tweets orangutan focused.
He'll shake hands with one, but not without wearing a face mask. How did that make the orangutan feel, Leo DiCaprio?
Anyway, so he's got a lot of orangutan things.
Look, so here's my theory, right? How do you track someone nowadays? Social media. It appears Leo tweets, I'm going to say, roughly once every 3 days. So if you're planning on kidnapping Leo, that gives you a pretty good head start. Because people aren't going to get suspicious until you're maybe gone for close to a week.
Yeah. George Clooney's ideal, who is not on Twitter. But yeah, I reckon you're even being quite generous with the once every 3 days, Jonathan. Because he tweeted something today. The tweet before that was the 5th of April. The tweet before that was March 31st. The tweet before that was March 29, though. Then March 28. Then March 26. Then March 25. Okay. So it seems like, has he been kidnapped? Oh, no, he didn't. He tweeted today.
Does he reply to people? No, he just does his own. He's not a listener. He just likes to talk.
I would not recommend following Leo on Twitter. This is my call. Huh? It seems very like he's just a lot of tweets about his causes that he's interested in.
So yeah, this would determine how quickly how long a period of time it is. That is suspicious as to whether or not if he tweets. If something happens, you know, if there's like an environmental crisis, okay? Yes. That's when Leo's going to pounce. If he doesn't tweet within 2 days of an environmental crisis, that's suspicious.
If you watch the news and there's some orangutan-related story...
Oh, my goodness.
Some worldwide global orangutan crisis, Leo will be tweeting about. It seems like his Twitter account's to show people that he cares about stuff in the world.
Yeah.
Like, it's more than just a movie star.
Yeah, if there's like an orangutan equivalent of Cecil the Lion, and you don't see Leo on Twitter, call 911. Something's happened to him.
Yeah.
He's been kidnapped.
See what J-Law's Twitter's about to give you the... here's this. If I like her Twitter, I'll follow it. I'll follow it if we like
it. A lot is on the line.
We'll see. We'll see Jenna Morris' Twitter. Oh, she might not be on Twitter.
I don't think she has one.
That's surprising that she would be on Twitter. She seems like quite social media savvy. No, she's not on Twitter. I'll never get Twitter, The Guardian quotes her as saying. So there you go. So Jennifer Lawrence and George Clooney, too cool for Twitter. Seems like I'm looking at Ryan Gosling's now. That looks a bit better. Looks like he tweets back his fans a little bit. There's some stuff about his movies that he's doing, it looks like. Some funny memes from his films or trailers. Like, seems like if you like Ryan Gosling movies, following him is going to help you find out a little bit about them.
The inside scoop.
Yeah. Good job, Ryan. Probably means his publicist runs his account.
Probably. Right. So there we go. That's what would happen if the world's biggest movie star got kidnapped.
People would realise they're not tweeting and there'd be a global manhunt.
Are we ready to give a verdict?
Yes, let's do it.
Hail Caesar. I have never so thoroughly enjoyed a film while simultaneously being so underwhelmed by the same film.
Ooh.
It's incredibly entertaining, and yet absolutely nothing happens. I really couldn't tell you whether I loved or hated this movie. 5 out of 10.
Okay, a fair score, I think. One thing we didn't touch on, there are some quite extended sequences in this movie that have nothing to do with the plot of the movie. There is the Scarlett Johansson mermaid synchronized swimming scene, and there is the Ryan Gosling dancing musical number as a sailor in the bar scene.
Do all sexy guys just look the same to you? Like Channing Tatum, Ryan Gosling?
Oh, yeah, sorry, Channing Tatum, yeah. Whatever. I'm on Ryan Gosling's Twitter at the moment, so that's what
I usually have Ryan Gosling on the brain.
Okay, I referenced why I was on it like 5 minutes ago. Anyway, were those things hits for you or misses for you?
You know, they didn't add a lot to the film in terms of story, but I guess if we're supposedly in the golden age of Hollywood and we're at the studio, I guess we want to see some shots, you know, some filming. And, you know, they used to do these big kind of like musical, theatrical production numbers. And so, you know, the mermaid one was kind of interesting. I didn't love it, but I guess, you know, it sort of told us a bit about who Scarlett Johansson was. And the Channing Tatum one was kind of entertaining, you know, how he's kind of annoying the bartender while dancing around on the tables and the bar and stuff. So didn't add a lot to the story, but I got something out of it.
Yeah, it seemed a bit self-indulgent to me.
They went on.
Yeah, but I did enjoy them. So maybe a first base hit. So, my review, or my verdict. It was like there were some fun moments. I enjoyed some of the characters, I enjoyed some of the things, but it was very all over the place. It really was a bit boring and dragged on a bit at times. Didn't love this movie. I'm going to give it a 4.5.
4.5 out of 10.
Yeah, not awful, but there wasn't much that I loved about it.
All right. Pretty much on the same page there. So, Adam, I don't know why you requested this. If you're a massive fan of the film, I'm sorry. If you requested it, because maybe you were torn and you thought it was an interesting film to podcast on, I agree. So thanks for the recommendation.
Yeah. Yeah, Adam rocks. You rock. That's really great. That was really fun talking about Halsey's, though. I actually enjoyed talking about it with you more than I enjoyed watching the movie.
That sometimes ends up being the case. I remember some of the Walking Dead podcasts have been some of our favourite podcasts to do, so...
Yeah, well, I've not seen Batman or Superman yet, Batman vs. Superman yet, but I imagine this could be the case with Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, I've seen it. I'm not going to spoil my opinion, but there has been mixed reviews out there on the interweb, so that's going to be coming up.
Fixed at best.
Zootopia podcast is in the works.
Oh, yes, we've got to do that. Have you seen it yet?
I have.
Okay, good.
And maybe some TV shows as well, House of Cards and some other things, so... Lots of good podcasts in the works.
I am getting my Frank Underwood impression ready, Jonathan. Yeah,
you know what? I might have to work on one, seeing as I've actually been to South Carolina myself now. I have no excuse for not being able to do a better Frank Underwood impression than Matt. So.
Were you down there for the primary, Jonathan, with your Ted Cruz t-shirts?
And no comment.
Jokes, we're not political, this podcast.
But
I'm pretty confident Jonathan does not support Ted Cruz. I don't want that rumor getting out there.
We're going to get into the House of Cards politics very soon.
Yeah. Oh, we've got very strong House of Cards politics opinions.
So we hope you enjoyed the podcast. I hope you're excited for those. And we'll catch you next week.
Yeah, see ya.